blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 369, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How pleasant and how good it is when brethren in the Lord in one another's joy delight and dwell in sweet accord. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 369. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the fourth chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, thereof the first 16 verses, Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. so far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, we have heard out of thy holy word that there is one God, that there is one Lord, that there is one faith, that there is one body, one church. Oh, that we also may not remain forever on the outside of that church. Oh, we are called, and we have also joined ourselves to the outward administration of that body that thou hast given in this world in its outward manifestation. Oh, but we need that we are also included in that body that is of thy dear Son. Oh, he is the head, and his church is his body, and he will care for his church even to the very end, to bring them through every trial, tribulation, affliction, and that is in this world, and to be with them even through the warfare with that last enemy of death, to take them that they may enter into his gates with joy, and that they may be received unto himself in eternal glory. Lord, thou knowest each and every one of us and what our life and our heart is by nature. Oh, we are so unworthy that thou shouldest look on us. Thou knowest our whole heart and what it brings forth from moment unto moment, thy righteousness and thy justice truly carried out outside of thy dear Son would consume each and every one of us. No, we cannot stand before thee, and we have not one reason to give thee from our own side that thou wouldest spare us. Oh, that thou would look on us in and through him whom thou wast pleased to send into this world and who came so willingly. Oh, that we also may be engrafted into him, and that we may become part of that body of him, and that we may be received also by thee, and that we may never be cast away from thee anymore. Oh, bring us into thy blessed communion. That is what our father Adam did experience with his wife, when thou didst make them in purity and in innocence in the beginning. Lord, what is that state? Oh, it needs to be brought back only through thy dear Son. Oh, give it in the midst of us, a longing, a desiring, a hungering, and a thirsting after thee, that God whom we have left, and so that we should not be able to leave thy dear Son in his place without an urgent cry, that he would also have mercy on us to open our poor blind eyes, to give us understanding, to open thy word that we might understand the scriptures, and that he may become so necessary and precious in our life. Oh, show to us how suitable that he is to wretched and guilty, to the needy, to the poor ones, those who are leprous from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds, bruises, putrefying sores, that he came to cleanse by the pouring out of his own precious and all-atoning blood. Lord, that is thy purpose. That is what thou camest to do. Oh, do we not need it also in the midst of us? Oh, is there not so much sin that needs to be washed and to be cleansed away? Oh, Lord, come thou in the midst of us.
and apply that which thou hast done 2,000 years ago, and give that also in the days that we are living in with our dear children, that the power of that blood may be experienced in the midst of us. Oh, even that this whole world that is about us may be given to know something of that which thou dost do among us. When thou dost open the mouth of wretched and poor ones, even in the midst of the community from time to time, oh, that we may be given that true faithfulness to warn, but that the love of thee shed abroad in our heart may also be a testimony in the midst of the people amongst whom we live. Lord, wilt thou work wonders that may come out of thy sovereign and thy free grace, all that it may be a part of thy good pleasure to look upon us as a congregation, young and old. That is our only hope, it is our only expectation, and therefore our only plea in this afternoon hour, that thou may take reasons out of thyself. Oh, do instruct thy own children also, and more in the depth of the sin in which they have fallen in their father Adam, and more in all that wretchedness and corruption and pollution that lies within that open sepulchre, that casts forth mire and dirt, that thy dear son may become all the more precious unto them, that it would be for them that cry, mercy is my only hope, mercy is my only plea. Wilt thou look on each and every one, and that have special needs in this life, all that mourn, all that have needs and difficulties, and that are afflicted in the body and in the mind, that experience the consequences of sin. Oh, give us to see the cause, to mourn the cause, and to turn away from our sinful ways. And wilt thou heal the bodies, and wilt thou strengthen all that are weak, and wilt thou comfort all that mourn, and do look upon our government, all those that make decisions for us on our behalf, those that rule and reign over us, those that are the judges of our land, that have responsible positions in this world, that are accountable to thee, and have no impression thereof. Lord, wilt thou remember them in mercy, and wilt thou impress them with who thou art, and that they must give an account and stand before thee, also with respect to the office that thou hast given unto them. Make them then faithful, and bind thy word upon their hearts, and turn us as a nation. Oh, may it be that we are made into truly a Christian nation, in the fear of thy name walking in this world, and in obedience to thy commandments. Oh, that it may be seen also in the midst of us as a congregation, as we have heard it as young people in the day of yesterday. We are separated by thee in our birth, in our baptism, in our confession. Lord, oh, that it may be that a separate life may be our portion here below, that we may be given to walk as strangers and as pilgrims, that we may not know the language that this world speaks, but that we might learn something of the blessed language of thy dear people, wherein they must decrease and that thou must increase. Then we shall be able to go through this life, and then we can pass out of this life. Oh, make a holy jealousy to be born in the hearts of our youth and of our children. Wilt thou look upon thy servants over the length and the breadth of this whole world? Lord, increase their number, and wilt thou give truly sent servants, truly converted, wrought upon by thee, and thrust forth into thy vineyard, and that they may go in that way of obedience leaving behind everything, father, mother, son, daughter, wife, and all that is dear to them in this world, that they may be given to walk in obedience to thee, and that thy word may go forth over the length and the breadth of this world, and that thy kingdom may come from the east and from the west, and that thou would not leave us and our dear children behind. Wilt thou remember also all those that bring thy word in places where it is not established, the mission fields? Wilt thou strengthen all that labor far from their loved ones? Be with the soldiers on the battlefields. Lord, help them. Wilt thou cover them under the shadow of thy wings and hide them in the palm of thy hands? And wilt thou bring them safely home again to their loved ones and look on all that mourn? Lord, wilt thou be with us in this afternoon hour? Or we are together once more, and thou knowest what we stand in need of, to bring to hear thy word, each of us together, so dependent upon thee even, that we may not be taken over by sleepiness in this afternoon, and with all the cares and the concerns of the world that can so easy, as the birds of the air, steal that seed of thy word. And Lord, also in the preaching, that we may be given clarity of mind and simplicity to bring it forth in the midst of the congregation also for the young ones. But that thou would bless it, Lord. Come thou, be in the midst of us as one that serveth undeservedly for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 203, stanzas 1 through 5, in sweet communion. Lord, with thee I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. 1 through 5 of Psalter 203.
Congregation, there was in this past week in our sister congregation of Lethbridge two weddings. What a blessed institution is the institution of marriage, that the Lord has declared that it is not good that man should be alone. The Lord has created man as a social creature. Therefore, also within that bond of holy matrimony, then it is a most blessed thing when there may be communion, that there may be a sharing of the thoughts, of the concerns, and of the cares of the heart between one another. Satan, in his work to destroy the institution of the Lord, is working very often to destroy, in the first place, this blessed communion. And then what an especial blessing when a husband and a wife, they may be in agreement with one another. But we can read in the Word of God that the Lord uses the outward, the natural institution of marriage to point to that spiritual bond, that union between Christ and His church, that He says to His church, "I am married unto you." And therefore, there is also a very special communion within this spiritual marriage. That is a communion that we cannot do without. We wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider something of this with you in this afternoon hour from our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 21, and thereof question number 55. Lord's Day 21, question number 55. What do you understand by the communion of saints? Answer, first, that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of Him and of all His riches and gifts. Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. So far, our Lord's Day. The communion of saints. First, the foundation of this communion. And second, the exercise of this communion. The communion of saints. First, the foundation of this communion. First, that all and every one who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of Him and of all His riches and gifts. And secondly, the exercise of this communion. Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. Congregation, this question of our Heidelberg Catechism deals with that statement of our confession of faith, "I believe the communion of saints." And what is a saint? A saint is not that which is made by some official within the Church of Rome. No, that is utter foolishness, because no man has such a power in this world. But the word saint here and in the Scriptures, that is referring to that true Church of God. But the word saint, that also has a meaning. And the meaning of that word, that is to be holy, or at the same time to be separated. Are God's people then holy? Certainly they are not holy within themselves. When you would ask any one of them, then they will tell you the truth concerning themselves and the truth of that holy word of God. What it says, how that from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, they are but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. What did Isaiah say? He said, "Woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips." What do we read of Paul? He says, "O wretched man that I am." No, they are far from holy within themselves, and yet there is a certain holiness. There is a certain separation. That holiness that comes from Him who is holy, and that people are separated. We heard that yesterday, the young people, and the topics that were given, separated, as you heard, young people, from the day of your birth, born into the family in which you are. That was not your choice, no. That was the choice of God. Therefore, it is God Himself that has made a separation in a natural way in this world. What a wonder. What a wonder that we are separated, when we are no different from every Muslim, from every Jew, from every Hindu, from every other false religion in this world. Then it ought to humble us so deeply that the Lord has made a separation. But then further, the Lord is making another separation. And that other separation is the separation concerning His own true church. That is the separation already from eternity. That is in His election that He has separated His people. And how that in the time the Lord is separating His people by calling them with that irresistible and that internal calling. They are people that are separated in a warfare, fighting a warfare against sin, with a burden laying on their soul that is not fought by the men of this world. Therefore, that people are not one with this world. What is the basis of that separation? The basis of that separation is actually a union. They are united to something, to someone. And when they are united to that someone, and then they are separated from this world. Those two things go together. Our fathers say that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of Him and of all His riches and gifts. So when we speak about the communion of the saints, then the communion of the saints does not begin in a communion with one another. But our fathers are saying that the communion of the saints that is beginning with the communion with God. That is a communion congregation in which we were created. Oh, does it ever strike you with desire? Does it ever strike you with a holy jealousy? Does it ever burn in your heart when you may read of our creation and when you may read how that God, our Creator, He has communed with our first parents in paradise, that He has talked with them, that He has walked with them, that they have spoken unto Him, that there was a holy, that there was a blessed communion. That is the communion that God is restoring again unto His children, bringing them back into that blessed favor and communion with Him in and through His only begotten and His beloved Son. That is the way. That way is opened, that you and I, do you believe that, young people? Do you believe that, children? That also you are able to come back again into that communion with God? That is possible. That is the reason that we come to God's house. That is the reason that God has given unto us His holy word. That is the reason that God has sent His only begotten Son into this world. That is to mediate. That is to restore. That is to bring us back into that blessed communion with our Maker again. I believe in the communion of saints. But our fathers, they ask, what do you understand by the communion of saints? Thus, the communion of saints, they say, well, what is that? Is that the same thing, young people, as you will hear about when you will go from church to church in this world? Then they will speak about fellowship. We almost hardly dare to say the word and to use the word. Not because it is wrong, no. But because it is used in such a way in the time in which we live for something that is so utterly superficial. Fellowship. That we have fellowship one with another. And what is meant by this fellowship? Well, then we must come together. Then we must speak to one another. And we must rejoice together in the grace of God. Fellowship, then the congregation, they should have more participation within the worship services. And we must do something also in those services for our children, that they also may have something to play on the Sabbath day also. And all of these kinds of things. And men, he is speaking then about fellowship, a social hour. And the further that we go, the further away that we go from the true communion of the saints. And why is that? Because there is missing the foundation. That is altogether missing what is lying at the foundation of that communion of the saints. Everything of this is outside of the true faith in Christ. There is only one thing that needs to draw us together. And what is that thing? That is the holy word of God. That is God's truth. And if God's truth does not draw us together, then we don't need anything to draw us together.
we say that it misses the true communion of the saints. And what is the true communion of the saints based upon? That is based upon that communion with God. Do we know of that communion? Our fathers, they say, all and everyone who believes. Thus, when a person believes, that faith that is already in itself an evidence of something, what is that an evidence of? That is an evidence of being a member of Christ, are in communion, partakers of Him and of all His riches and gifts. Thus, when does a person come into the communion and does he become a member of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that when such a person may know something of that second person of the Trinity? Is that the time that they become a member of Christ? Is it when the Lord Jesus reveals Himself to the soul of His church? Do they then become a member of Him? Is it when the Holy Spirit is giving an application of Christ? Do we then become a member? No. When do we become a member of Christ? A man becomes a member of Him in regeneration. There he is engrafted into Christ. In the new birth, it is in that moment that true saving faith is planted in the soul. In the last question of this Lord's Day, then we heard how that true faith agrees, that true church agrees in true faith. How can they agree in true faith? That is because they have one head. And it is that one head who has planted that faith. That same faith that is a gift of God coming through regeneration. It is that same head who is bringing that faith into exercise. And that faith that has the same object. What is that? What is the object of that faith? In other words, what does that church come to believe? You say the object of that faith, that is Christ. Yes, that is true. The object of that faith, that is Christ. But Christ, He is the very special object of the faith of that church. And it is necessary that faith in Christ as the object of faith is coming in their life. Everything that is true, that is coming out of Him. And yet, what is the first work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the people? That is to teach the necessity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Congregation, have we not tried to say a few words of this in this morning hour?
How is that in our life? Is that not the great sin of our life? That we see no need for that mediator? Which means that we see nothing of how that we have fallen away from God. Which means that all our righteousnesses, they have not yet become filthy rags. No, the first work that needs to be taught by the Spirit in every one of us is our need for that mediator. Also in the day of regeneration, they do not know that need for that mediator. Even in the day of regeneration, when they feel something of that missing of their Maker, when a man just begins to go bow down over this world as he is missing God, and when his desire and all his heart that begins to go out after him as before it went out after this world, then they still see no need for this mediator. And this is now the great work of that Holy Spirit in the life of God's children. Oh, to teach them step by step that they have sinned and that they have come short of that glory of God. That I have broken that communion with my Maker. And to give that people a desire to return unto my Maker again. Otherwise, we never need a mediator. Otherwise, we never need Christ. When we never had a desire to come back again unto God, whom we left. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to teach by experience that I am not able to bridge over that gap. And that I cannot return unto my Maker. Why? Because that covenant that is broken, broken, broken. There is a law in my members. It is following after this world. That there is no ability in myself to keep all the commandments of God. Oh, that I can do so much in an outward way. But all that filth and corruption that is within. When the Lord may teach by His Spirit the spirituality of His law. And what it means that we have broken and continue to break every single commandment of the Lord. Oh, then the Lord is working. Then the Lord is working step by step to break us down and to bring a need in our heart for that blessed mediator. For we need to learn that we are not on the inside anymore, but we have been sent out of that garden. We have been sent out of that blessed communion. Thus the mystery, the blessed mystery of that new birth, brought into the family of God. And for the first time in our life, an impression that we stand on the outside of that people of God, cut off from Adam and incorporated in that moment into the Lord Jesus Christ. Safe. Safe from the sight of God. Become the apple of His eye. And yet in the experience of the heart of that people, now feel so unsafe, boys and girls, like that man in Pilgrim's Progress. City of what? Of destruction. But that man, he had been born again. All blessed mystery, brought on the inside. And now an outsider brought into the communion with God
and for the first time to know, to experience that I am outside of His favor and His communion. Begin to believe. And for the first time really, truly understand that I am nothing but an unbeliever. God converts and I become unconverted. And nevertheless, made a member of the body of Christ. And being a member, our Father said, made partakers of Him and all His riches and gifts. When two people are married, then what is happening? Then there is a blessed, blessed sharing. When you will have a debt, or then that debt of that bride that will lay upon that bridegroom, that becomes his in that moment. And so that bridegroom, he is taking over everything that that bride does owe. Do we not read it? Surely he hath borne our griefs, and he has covered our sorrows. That he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. That is on the one side. And on the other side, in that marriage, oh, that bride, she comes into the possession of something. Oh, she comes into possession of everything that that bride didn't own, the bridegroom does own. All his riches, all his gifts, in that moment, they come to belong to that bride. Oh, the blessed obedience. Can you not obey? Can you not obey? From the morning to the night. The blessed obedience of that bridegroom. That perfect obedience that is in the eyes of his Father without spot and without wrinkle. That is becoming in that moment the possession of that bride. Oh, have you no righteousness? Is that but filthy rags? Is it true from the crown to the foot, wounds, bruises, putrefying sores? Is that your burden? Oh, that righteousness in that moment, that spotless righteousness of that Son of God, that bridegroom, it is in that moment becoming fully the possession of that bride. And so we can go on. His holiness, the congregation, also his relation. His relation to his Father. We had it. We were the sons of God. We broke it. We have departed from him. But he was so obedient. He has never transgressed. And in that moment, that you or I may be incorporated into him, oh, then we receive something so blessed that belongs to him. That is that blessed communion that he has with his Father. Oh, do you hear it? It is a blessed restoration again. And to that which we were created in paradise. Blessed communion. He has paid everything.
and all his riches and all his gifts, they are becoming the possession of the church here. Here is the foundation of the blessed communion of the saints. All out of free and sovereign grace. All flowing out of the blessed good pleasure of God in His only begotten Son. O congregation, He brings everything. He brings everything along with Him when He comes. He brings along that true regeneration so that you will cry out, smiting on your breast, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He is bringing along faith with Him that it does not have to come from you, that you may become as that woman with that issue of blood. That may go out after the Lord Jesus Christ. That was not according to the law. Oh, if I might, may only but touch. May I but touch that hem of His garment. Then I shall be whole. Oh, He brings everything. Justification, my son. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Sanctification. A robe of righteousness. Whereby He is covering all the filth, the pollution, the wretchedness of His people. A complete redemption. Deliver him from going down unto the pit. I have found a ransom, a blessed reconciliation. In the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people. There shall it be said unto them, ye are the children of the living God. O peace, congregation. Peace that passes all understanding. A rest. The rest that remaineth unto the children of God. A joy. Wherein they may joy in that salvation of the Lord. Oh, that is a blessed communion.
But we have to go on. Out of this blessed communion. The foundation that is coming also a communion with one another. And now it is simple to see how there is the communion of the saints, is it not? Because congregation, they have one head. And therefore they are one body. And therefore there must be a blessed communion. We read that in the Word of God, they are called a spiritual house. One house. Oh, they are all stones, the same within that building. They are called members of one body. Why? They have one life. It is that same life. They are called the branches of one vine. Why? Well, they are receiving the fruits all out of the same place. All expressions in the Word of God speaking about the blessed unity of that true church of God. Why? Because they are taught by one Spirit. They're all on one way. Do you remember what that way is, boys and girls? They're on one way. It was the narrow way. Have you laid that before the Lord? To say, Lord, wilt thou bring me also on that one way? Wilt thou bring me on that narrow way? And if they come from the east or west or the north or the south, or if they come from the Old Testament, the time of the patriarchs, or if they come from our days, then it is still the same work. Whatever color, whatever race, whatever nationality, whatever age, doesn't matter. They are all going to understand one another Why? It is, congregation, the unity. It is the unity of that true church of God. There is one God. There is one Spirit. There is one Lord. There is one church. And when it is right and when it is good, then there is love. There is love in our families. I hope that is so, young people, boys and girls. Is that what is said of our families? Does all the world that is about us as a congregation, when they view us and our families, do they have this one thing to say about us? Behold, how they love one another. May that be evident, boys and girls, between you as brothers and sisters, as you're growing up. We say it always the same, in the short time that we have to be with one another in this life. And why is there unity in a family? Because there is a relation of blood. And now there is also unity in that true church. Why? Because there is a blood bond. And what is that blood bond? They are bound, congregation, by that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or what do we read about Jonathan and David? Well, we read about them that their souls, they were knit together, and that they loved one another. We read of Lydia, she constrained Paul, abide with us, stay with us. Why is that? She felt something. There was a bond. Why is a congregation that the Galatians, they were ready, we read in the Word of God, to pluck their own eyes out for the sake of the Apostle Paul? There was a bond. It was a blood bond. The bond of the true church. Why did Ruth cling to Naomi? Why did Rahab desire so much to be one of the children of Israel? What made Moses leave all the riches, young people of Egypt, that he could have all for himself and have himself ascended the throne? What made him leave all that behind? Or there was a bond. Or the true communion of the saints that is between its members when it is right. Don't they live the same life? Don't they breathe, congregation, that same longing? My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. Do they not suffer under the same trials, the same temptations of Satan coming to them through the members even of this life, even as Job cursed God and died? Doesn't every one of that church make that same confession against thee? Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Don't they experience that same unworthiness? That they say with Mephibosheth that
What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Do they not melt under the same mercies of the Lord? Do they not rejoice under that same grace of God? That he raiseth up the poor and that he is lifting up the beggar from the dunghill? Do they not rejoice in that same glory of God? Do they not sing that same song? Not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory.
Congregation, how is it? How is it now with us? How is it with you? How is it with me? When that is the longing, when you can read this in the Psalms, when you can read this in the prophets, when you can read this in the patriarchs, when you can read this in the New Testament. Is there ever anything in your heart that you say that this is now that same language which the Lord has put in my heart? Do you understand their perplexities? Do you understand their cares? Can you go along with the riddles that lie within your heart? Oh, in order to communicate, you have to know the language. What language do we know? Young people, what language do we desire? Do we desire the language of this world? Do we desire even the language of the professing Christianity of this world? As we can read it over the talk, we can hear it over the talk shows on the radio. Oh, that we would put it away from us. Because it brings among us a language which is not the language of the true church. Oh, that we might understand something of that language of Canaan, because then we will know something of the true communion of the saints. Let us sing. Psalter 227. We'll sing only stanzas 1 and 3. 1 and 3. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. My soul is longing, fainting thy sacred courts to see. My heart and flesh are crying, O living God, for thee. 1 and 3 of Psalter 227.
Thank you.
Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. Every one of us, congregation, has been given a station and a calling in our life. And every one of us has been given gifts, and whether it be many gifts or whether they be few gifts. And within our station, within our calling in life, then it is our duty to employ our gifts, whether those be many or whether those be few. Because the Lord demands that we do not bury our talents. There is an office also of all believers, so it has been called. An office of all believers within that true church of God. Paul says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." What did the Lord Jesus say? "The poor ye have always with you, and whensoever ye would, ye may do them good." The Roman Emperor Maximin, he has issued a very cruel decree at one time against the Christians. There was a very dreadful famine and pestilence. Many times these pestilences and tribulations in the world, in the time of the persecutions, have been blamed on the Christians as an excuse to do them harm. There is a certain historian, his name was Eusebius, and I'd like to read a moment to you what he wrote. He said, "The heathen everywhere beheld a striking proof of the piety and universal benevolence of Christians. Amidst calamities so numerous and so severe, they alone exhibited in substantial deeds the offices of mercy and humanity. They daily employed themselves partly in protecting and burying the bodies of the dead, for innumerable multitudes of whom no person took care died every day, and partly in distributing provisions to all the indigent in the whole city that were pining for hunger, which they collected for that purpose. The consequence was that this was extensively talked of and divulged, and all men highly extolled the God of the Christians and confessed that they alone had approved themselves in deed and in truth, the sincere worshipers of God." Thus, the fulfillment of this duty that has redounded in those days to the glory of God. There are also offices within the church of God for which the Lord is giving special gifts for the carrying out of those offices. The fulfillment of those offices is also, as we read here, a duty. When we are called by lawful means within the church to our office, then it is not up to man to withdraw himself unless there is a very good reason. Moses, when he was 40 years old, had a desire to come to the aid of his people. He had much knowledge the Lord had provided for him in a natural way. But though there was much desire, it was not the Lord's time. When was it the Lord's time? The Lord's time did not come until 40 years later. And how was that with Moses 40 years later? Then all his desire was gone. And when all his desire was gone, then the Lord says, I can use him. And then the Lord thrust him forth into his labors. What do we read here in our answer? That everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of the other members. Why was it that we read the Lord was angry at Moses? Moses did not do it so readily. Moses did not do it so cheerfully. And what was the objection of Moses? He says, I am slow of speech, and I am of a slow tongue. But the Lord knew of what he had given to Moses as gifts. The Lord was not ignorant of this when he sent Moses into his work. And the Lord had promised to go with him, and the Lord had promised to help him. Who hath made man's mouth, have not I the Lord, who maketh the deaf or the dumb or the blind or the lame. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach you what you must say. Readily and cheerfully. It does not come, congregation, from the fruit of our own field. But it is such a great comfort when we may know that we have been called, lawfully called of the Lord to the office that he has placed us in. Then in every difficulty, then we have a foundation and we have a place where we may bring our needs. But how is it also that we treat those who are lawfully placed in their offices? We know of Moses, that Miriam and Aaron spake against him. But the Lord heard it, and the Lord had sent Moses, and the Lord stood for Moses, that he did not have to defend himself. I believe the communion of saints. There are times, congregation, that the Lord is bringing his people to fulfill the needs of one another. Times that the Lord is bringing the world to fulfill the needs of his own church. There are times that the Lord is giving opening at the throne of grace for one another when the needs they have not been spoken about between each other in this world. For in that communion of saints that is becoming manifest in the life of God's people, there are times also when God's children may receive a little opening and a little freedom to speak together and to tell of the wonders of the Lord in their life, that they may wholeheartedly concur with one another, and then that bond that is growing deeper and deeper, all bound by that same love, all bound by that same blood. The congregation, we live. We live in dark times. That is not so nice to say, is it, young people? That you say, I have to grow up in a very dark time. is not so nice to hear. It would be nice if we were living in a time when the Spirit of the Lord was so working mightily that many, you could hear, were being converted every day. You know, young people, there are people that do not believe that we live in dark times. No, they say, look at the young people. They come together. They are interested. They join with the church. They have prayer meetings. They come even to the Lord's Supper. Can it be a dark time? If it were true that the same young people were not still so interested in living it out in this world, in the way of their sports, in the way of their entertainments, and what all kinds of things they want to enjoy still in this world, if that were so, then perhaps we might be very, very glad. Then perhaps we may say, no, the times, they are not so dark. But sadly, that is not the thing that we see about us in general. Oh, if we could only see an afflicted and a poor people who are given to trust in that name of the Lord. Or when they would increase among us, even amongst you as young people, then we would say that the times were not so dark. Or it is only the reality, that darkness, but remember that the Lord is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that communion that He has given in the days gone by to our fathers, the Lord is still able to work, and He has not finished until this world comes to its end. And when we may know something of that stripping work of that Holy Spirit, in the knowledge of our misery, and the instruction in the knowledge of deliverance by the revelation of His only begotten Son, and the testimony, the blessed testimony among the true saints of God, all, then we may say it is a people that may know something of that blessed communion of the saints. And that is in a small way here below. But soon all the hindrances, all the darkness is going to be removed. That is a people that are going to gather around the throne of that Lamb. Together, they're going to cast the crowns. Together, they're going to glorify and to magnify that Lamb who has shed His blood to save such an one that deserved to go eternally lost. Then their song will be in communion. A blessed, blessed communion forever and forever. Will we also be among them? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O give us that true desire for that communion. First, the communion with Thee, and then also the communion with Thy people.
Oh, give us to know what we miss, that we may begin to long, to hunger, to thirst, to desire, because then we shall be satisfied. Lord, remember us. Go with us in the week to come. Give meditation upon thy word, which is so full, but we can but stammer a few things. Lord, remember us and bless the foolishness of preaching. Wilt thou be with us, each one in our calling in this life? Remember also the children that in this week will go together, to be together for a few days. May thou be on the right and on the left. And wilt thou keep from all danger and accident, evil and sin, and all of us in every way that we must go, fathers and mothers, give us an inner chamber, that we might not let thee go, except thou may bless us. Bring back those also from the Netherlands that must travel back again. Comfort all that mourn, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Psalter 175 is our closing psalter. Stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Come, all ye people, bless our God, and tell his glorious praise abroad, who holds our soul in life, who never lets our feet be moved, and though our faith he oft has proved, upholds us in the strife. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 175. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.